You may be seated. Thank you, ladies, for leading so beautifully, and thank you so much for being here today, making this worship service part of your holiday weekend. A very special welcome to any first-time guests that are worshiping with us. Thank you for coming to be a part of this service. If this is your first time, I invite you after the service to go by our Welcome Center. We have a small gift for you as a token of our love and appreciation for you coming to be here today. For those of you worshiping with us online, thank you for tuning in. We pray that wherever you may be, that you would feel the presence of the Lord and that you might have a special time of worship this day. But as we've been singing these beautiful patriotic songs, we can't help but remember those men and women who have paid a price to give us the freedom that we have and continue to preserve the freedom that we have in this great country. And at this time, I would like to invite any military personnel, current or past, that have served in any branch of our armed forces to stand so we can show our love and appreciation for you. Would you mind to stand right now if you are serving or will be serving? God bless you for your service, and we pray for God's continued hand to be upon you and to be upon this country. And may we always keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ, because he's the only hope that we have in this country and in this world. Thank you for coming to worship with us. At this time, I'm going to invite everyone to stand. Tell someone you're glad to see them here today. Could you do that?
What a way to start a service. Unbelievable. So powerful. I just love it when they are up here leading us. And at this time, I want to invite you to come to the altar. This is a time to lift up your needs, lift up your prayers. If you feel more comfortable praying from your seats, that's fine. But at this time, make your way on down front if you'd like to come pray at the altar. Dear Heavenly Lord, we just come to you in prayer this morning, just lifting this service up to you, Lord, lifting each individual that has come down front, Lord, that you know their prayers, Lord, and I just pray that they'll be heard, and Lord, we just pray over each one of them, Lord. We pray for those that are at their seats praying, Lord. You know what they're praying for and what they need. Lord, I just pray that you will bless this service in a mighty way, Lord. I pray that decisions will be made for your kingdom. I pray that you'll speak through Brother Todd and sing through the choir and the praise team. And Lord, we're just so thankful of this church and the 235 years that this church has been here. And Lord, I just want to lift up those that paid the ultimate sacrifice, Lord, for this nation, Lord, and all of those, Lord, that just graduated from the high schools around this area, Lord, as they go into a new chapter of their life, Lord, I just pray that you will bless them, Lord. We just thank you so much for each and everything that you do for us, Lord. We're not worthy, but Lord, we're thankful that you, Lord, look out for us and just provide so much. Lord, please bless the tithes that were given out front, Lord. We're so thankful for those with the giving hearts. And Lord, we just pray again, thanking you so much for all that you do. We pray these things in Jesus' sweet name. Amen.
Thank you, Mark, for leading us in prayer, and thank you so much for being here today and allowing the Spirit of God to be in this place. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, and as you're doing that, I'm grateful for all the beautiful music that we've heard today to our worship team, to our instrumentalists. In just a moment, our choir will be coming to lead us. Thank you all so much for being here today and using your talents for the Lord. Hear these words that may be familiar to many of you, might be new to others. Begin with verse 3 of Philippians chapter 1. I thank my God every time I remember you. And all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord, and blessed be the name of the Lord.
Thank you.
thank you all so much for that powerful message and song. And thank you for being here. I don't know anywhere else I'd rather be than in God's house worshiping Him on this holiday weekend. Thank you so much for being here today and allowing His Spirit to be in this place. Always like to share a little humor or attempt to share a little bit of humor with you before more serious things. And you might remember this story of little Alex was out in the foyer of the church staring up at a large plaque. And as Alex was looking at this large plaque that had a lot of names on the plaque and a couple of American flags on each side, the pastor noticed him and went up and stood beside him. He said, "Good morning, Alex." He said, "Good morning, Pastor." And as he looked at that plaque, little Alex said, "Pastor, what is this?" And the pastor said, "Well, son, that's a memorial for all the men and women who died in the service." Little Alex paused for a moment, and then with a little trembling voice, he said, "Which service, the 8:30 or the 11? Thought it was a worship service. But anyway, Memorial Day became a holiday. I was declared a national holiday in 1971 through an act of Congress. And many of you may know that it originated its roots during the Civil War times, and it was called Decoration Day. And it was when the Civil War soldiers had grave sites that were neglected, and so they had a day where they could go to decorate or place flowers on these graves that were not being kept. And for us, we understand that Memorial Day is a day that we remember those men and women who fought, who sacrificed to give us our freedom, and those who have preserved our freedom through the years. But Memorial Day has also become a time that we remember loved ones who have gone on before us, that we remember the impact they had on our lives, and we show our respect for those who have gone before us. In our scripture passage today, we're reading out of Philippians, and many of you may know that Paul is the one who wrote Philippians from jail. He was in prison because of his faith in Jesus Christ. He was being persecuted. He was not in the Mamertine dungeon where he wrote 2 Timothy, where his life would come to an end as a martyr for Christ. But he was actually in his own rented house under the guard of Roman soldiers. And he was able to impart the gospel to anyone who would come to him. But when he wrote this letter, he wrote for several reasons. The primary reason was to thank the Philippians for collecting an offering and sending it to him upon learning of his detention in Rome. He wrote to report on his own circumstances. He wrote to encourage these Christians to stand firm in the face of persecution. He encouraged them to rejoice regardless of their circumstances that they were going through. He also wrote them to exhort them to humility and unity within their church. But I know that these words that Paul spoke to these Philippian Christians are as relevant and as impactful for us today as it was for them. As I think about this letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian church, I can't help but think about us as we celebrate Memorial Day, because I believe that his words are so appropriate for this season that we're going through. And I pray today that whatever's going on in your life, wherever you may be in your spiritual journey, your walk, or you may not even have a relationship with Jesus Christ, for whatever's going on in your life right now, I pray that these words would encourage you and inspire you. First, that we might praise God for our memories, to praise God for our memories. We looked in verse 3 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul said, I thank God for all of you, for every remembrance of you. Paul was thanking the Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you. He remembered how special they were, and he was thanking God. And there were many times in Paul's letters that he began by thanking these readers, thanking them for their reception of the gospel. As a matter of fact, he began not only this letter, but he also began Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians with this type of greeting. It became a hallmark of Paul to begin by thanking his readers. But he did this in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. He did it in 2nd Timothy. He did it in Philemon. He did it in Colossians. And most of his letters, he thanked them for receiving the gospel. He did it also in Romans. In Romans chapter 1, verse 8, he said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because of your faith is being reported all over the world. So he was thanking them that they were living out their faith and it was spreading all across the world. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, he said, I always thank my God for you because of the grace given you in Christ Jesus. Again, he was thanking God. I guess you could say these were precious memories that Paul had with these believers at Philippi. And what I came to learn this past week, that many of the Christians there at Philippi were retired military men. As a matter of fact, they had been given land in that vicinity, and in turn, these men would serve kind of as a military presence in this frontier city. So Paul, again, was encouraging them and inspiring them and thanking them. And I'm so grateful today that we can have some precious memories as well. I shared this at the early service, and some of you all have heard me share this in past times. I have many precious memories that I could talk for hours about, but I remember as a child how much fun it was to go to my grandparents' Memorial Day weekend. My cousins and I would load up in my granddad's old pickup truck. We would all be in the back, and we would drive from their farm there in Campbellsville into town to Miller Park. And there I remember, like it was, I can still hear the clanging of the horseshoes that my dad and my granddad and my Uncle Russell and my older brothers throwing horseshoes. My brother Tim and I and my cousins playing wiffle ball, and we would play and play and until we couldn't go any longer. And then we'd go sit down under the big tree and take out of the ice chest or the cooler a big glass 16-ounce bottle of Pepsi. And you've heard me say before, those were the best Pepsis I've ever had in my life. They don't make Pepsi like they used to. I don't know what changed, but I remember popping that thing open, sitting under the tree, sweat rolling down my face, and taking a drink. And then they'd cut the watermelon. And I would go into that watermelon. I had juice dripping off each earlobe in my nose as I was just carving in on that watermelon and then spitting the seeds out and having seed spitting contest. Do you know why I think those Pepsis were so good? Because the times were so good. I had all my family. My grandparents were there. My dad, my mom, my brothers, my family. Everybody was there, and it was such a special time. That's what made that Pepsi so sweet, because the times were so sweet. Those were precious memories. Maybe you can recall them. some of those times as well where there was not a care in the world, not a pain, not a worry. It was just a sweet time. I tell you, I so enjoyed yesterday being a part of a funeral service for Carl Mitchell, or Mitch, as he was called, the husband of Janet Mitchell, one of our faithful members. And it was such a sweet service. His children spoke, and I read the words from one of his children, his son, but one of his sons did an outstanding job of sharing his memories and sharing some funnies as well. And then he did something that you don't often see at a funeral. Well, sometimes people will be invited to come up to the pulpit or to the stand to share some memories, but Mitch's son took the mic out into the crowd, and he said, "Does anybody have a memory of Dad you want to share?" And different ones began to stand and share their memories, each one in a different way about Mitch. It was moving. It was touching as they shared these memories. And, you know, you wonder, will someone stand and say something about you and say something about me one day? Will they say something that you can say in front of people about you and about me? But it was such a sweet time as they shared these precious memories about their dad, about their loved one. And I just want to issue a challenge to you, whether it be today or tomorrow, because Mitch passed away unexpectedly after working in his garden all day. He sat down in his chair like he just fell asleep, and he slipped from this old world into his eternal life. None of us are promised tomorrow. I just want to challenge you. Would you be willing to go to someone today or tomorrow and thank them for what they've done for you? Would you be willing to go to a mom and dad if they're still living, or a grandparent if you're still blessed with grandparents on this side, or to a teacher or to a minister or to somebody? Would you be willing to go and say thank you? If I've never said thank you, I want to thank you for everything you've done for me. And I would take it another step. Would you be willing to tell them that you love them? So many people today say, I don't have to say, they just know. I've told you this before. People need to hear it and they need to feel it. So I challenge you to tell someone today or tomorrow, thank you, tell them I love you. And then if your loved ones have gone on, would you be willing to take the time? I plan on doing this tomorrow. I plan on going to my dad's grave over here at Sunset. And I'm going to tell my dad I love him and I thank him for everything he ever did for me. Maybe you can take flowers, or you can take something and place it on their grave as a memorial. I mean, I know, and we know they're with the Lord, but maybe just a symbol of our love and appreciation, we can go to say thank you. Thank you for everything you've done for me and the precious memories that I have. Paul was thanking them, thanking God for these, praising God for these precious memories. But then secondly, may we be willing to pray a prayer of joy because of the partnership. He said in verses 4 and 5, in all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day until now. When Paul thought of the Philippians, he had happy memories. When he thought of the Philippians, a smile came to his face. When he thought of the Philippians, he thought about their active involvement in ministry. Not only did they come to know Christ years before when he was there on a missionary trip, but they were actively involved by sending an offering to him when learning upon his detention in Rome. So they were actively involved. And one of the ways Paul showed his affection and his joy was by praying for them. I had a friend that sent me just yesterday a text that said, the greatest gift we can give others is our prayers. That many times we can give the gift of praying for people, because we all need prayer, don't we? And I'm so grateful that we can pray. James said in James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Did you know that healing takes place when we confess our sins and we're open to the Lord, because he knows us inside and out anyway? But when we confess our sins one to the other and pray for each other, then healing begins. Maybe you need to pray for someone or go to someone and say, I'm sorry, or I love you, or forgive me. I shared this often. There's so many people, so many families divided. Maybe you're going to call a family member and you're going to say, I don't even know where the divide started. Maybe it was after the funeral. Maybe it was when the will was written. But this is crazy. Life is so short. And I want to tell you, I'm sorry for anything I said and did. And would you forgive me? And maybe the healing will begin when you do that. But it's so important that we pray for one another. William Barclay, who's a Bible commentator, wrote in his commentary a story about a nurse who was working at a hospital. One of her patients was a grumpy old man. He was disgruntled and dispirited, really wasn't pleasant to be around, a complainer. Does that sound like anybody you know? And one day she told this man that, I want to teach you how to have joy. And it starts with learning how to pray. Well, the man didn't know how to pray. And because she was always working in his room with her hands, whether it was checking this or checking his blood pressure or checking his pulse or doing something here and there, she said, I'm going to use my hand as a scheme for prayer. And she said, the thumb, because it's closest to you, I want you to pray for those folks that are nearest to you when you think of your thumb. Said the pointer finger, I want you to pray for those teachers that you had in school, or for people that have ministered to you and helped you here in this hospital. Said this longest finger, the middle finger, I want you to pray for all of our leaders and important people that make decisions on a daily basis for all of us. This third finger, which if you've ever played the piano is called the lazy finger, said, I want you to pray for those people that are troubled, in pain, or sick. And then that smallest finger is the least. And that's what I want you to pray for yourself, that you're putting others before you're thinking about yourself. And guess what? This disgruntled, dispirited, grumpy old man left that hospital a joyful man, as he came to understand that others came before his own selfishness and his own desires. But when he says, in all my prayers, I pray with joy for all of you because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day until now, I could be here all day thanking many of you in my own life for the partnership of the gospel that we've shared in this church over these last several years. I mean, I could go on and on. This hadn't been a solo act. It's been a team effort. I could go on and on and on. But I just want to share just one with you. And please forgive me, because like I said, I could mention so many of you, but I want to tell you that from day one, from the very first day I became pastor of this church, There was a man by the name of Tommy Lippert who went from this world on August the 19th, 2022. It'll be a year in August. That he was with me from day one. What do I mean by that? We were at the little church across the street. My first week here, he said, I want to go visit with you. He said, I'm going to take you to people in Decker's community and surrounding community. People hadn't been to church for years. People that need to be in church. So we go visit, knock on doors, visiting people, inviting people to church. And if you knew Tommy Lippert, he was a man that loved God and loved his country. He was a veteran serving in the United States Air Force. And when you talked about thanking a veteran or a military person for their service, Tommy's chest would stand out and his head was held high. He was proud to be an American and proud to serve his country in the United States Air Force. And Tommy took that mentality of a soldier for being a soldier for the Lord. He would visit with me and encourage me, serve for years as a Sunday school director. He would serve as a deacon. He would serve on this committee and that committee. And you know what Tommy said? He said, Todd, I'm in the trenches with you. You don't have to worry about it. I'll be in the foxhole with you. And I knew that to be the case. And he had a lot of joy. He loved cutting up with people and sharing his faith. And I was so grateful that his sister, Janice Williams, and his family, his wife, Ann, who's a member of our church, not long after Tommy passed, put out these bookmarker or Bible markers out in the foyer. Some of you all got one. It's in my Bible. Picture of Tommy. It's got the American flag. It's got the 23rd Psalm on one side. And on this side, it has this, a little while. Fill not your heart with pain and sorrow, but remember me and every tomorrow. Remember the joy, the laughter, the smile. I've only gone to rest for a little while. Although my leaving causes pain and grief, my going has eased my hurt and given me relief. So dry your eyes and remember me, not as I am now, but as I used to be. Because I will remember you all and look on you with a smile. Understand in your hearts, I've only gone to rest for a little while. I think of my friend Tommy Lippert, and I know I'm going to see Tommy again one day. And Tommy would want you and me to smile, to keep loving the Lord and loving one another and loving this country for folks like Tommy that made a difference in my life and the life of this church. But then lastly, that we would be encouraged to persevere with confidence. Because we read after he said, in all my prayers for all of you, I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day up until now. And being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Isn't that great to know? That he that began a good work in us will carry it on to completion. Guess what? We're not a finished product. We are continuing to grow. I remember that my fourth and fifth grade Sunday school teacher, Sunday school teachers are people that have never gone to Sunday school. Please understand, you make a difference, teachers in Sunday school. And I remember my fourth, fifth grade Sunday school teacher was Virginia Dean, Virginia and Bobby Dean. They taught us the books of the Bible. They taught me so many life lessons. I remember she cut out of a Sunday school literature another Bible marker, and it said, I'm not all that I'm going to be. And I've always remembered that from fourth and fifth grade. I'm not all I'm going to be. And as a follower of Christ, you're not all that you're going to be either. We read in Philippians 2:12, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean we work for our salvation. We work as a result of our salvation. we continue to grow in our faith. Some of you are here and you think, I gave my life to Christ. That's a green light, the past, to go back to living like I always did and being in the world. Look, when we give our lives to Christ, we repent, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we change to be better than we were before and to live differently than we lived before. It's not like, well, I'm going to just keep sinning because he's going to give me more grace. Paul said, I don't keep on sinning. But we repent to show that we are changed. And we must persevere each day with confidence. I think about that great passage out of Hebrews 12, and we're almost done. Hebrews chapter 12. Remember, Hebrews chapter 11 was that honor roll of faith, or that hall of faith that was in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, the Hebrew writer, remember, he gave the image of a coliseum or a stadium. He said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider him and everything he went through. And then Paul, who wrote this letter that we're reading at the end of his life, before he would die for the cause of Christ, in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, at the very end, he said in this farewell valedictory speech, if you will, he said, and now the time has come for my departure, and I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who have longed for his appearing. Wouldn't it be great if we could all say that one day? I have fought this good fight. I have finished the race. And I've kept the faith. And we'll be blessed. I close by sharing a story that Chuck Swindoll, who's a pastor, author, shared years ago in a little book called Victory. He shared about a lady that had come to his church who had come from an abusive home as a child. She then was married and was in an abusive, horrific marriage. She had two children. She was a single mom. She came in with a hunger for emotional support and love. And once she came to this church, hopeless, not knowing what to do, where to turn, the church embraced her, loved her, prayed for her, prayed with her, and she would give her heart and life to Jesus Christ. And this woman who had come in so broken, Chuck Swindoll said he had the privilege of watching her grow stronger each day in her faith. And then she sent him a letter that I want to read just a portion of as we close. She said, without persistence, I would be dead. I would have given in to the despair of hopelessness that was my life. I would have surely died from loneliness. Victory is the result. And then she added, this has been another incredibly challenging year as a mother of two teenagers, as a single parent, as a student of psychology at CSFU, and I graduate next May and then want to go on to get my master's and MFCC license. Talk about persistence. If I hadn't had it, I'd have buckled under a long time ago. And she gave God the glory for giving her the persistence to endure the most difficult time in her life. And guess what? That same God can give you persistence today. He can help you and me to persevere with confidence that he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. Do you know the Lord today? Have you ever given your heart and life to Jesus? It's a choice. You don't have to. But it's my prayer that if you haven't, you would. What's keeping you back from accepting the free gift of Jesus Christ, his love and his forgiveness? Or maybe you're a Christian and you've lost that loving feeling. You're just not feeling it anymore. Well, guess what? It's more than a feeling. It's a commitment. And I pray today that if you've lost that loving feeling, you might renew your vow of commitment to say, Lord, I've wandered off. I've done things, said things I shouldn't live how I shouldn't. But I'm coming back to you today. He'll love you into his arms. Maybe you've been looking for a church home. I love this church. Like I said, we'd still be here for days, me telling you all the fond memories that I've had here. But I know that God is here. His presence is here on this hill. We are on holy ground. And if you'd like to be a part of this family of faith, it would be my prayer that you would join. I pray for you all every day. I pray for this church. I hope you pray for me every day because I need it. My wife needs it even more than I do. But we all need prayer. And I hope and pray that if you are looking for a church home, we would invite you to be a part of this family. Make this a memorial day that you'll remember always. May we pray together. Lord, I pray right now in the stillness of this moment that if there are any men or women or young people or children here or people watching, Lord, that have never accepted you into their heart, that this might be the day of salvation, that they will acknowledge their sin, ask for your forgiveness, and they would invite you to come into their heart, repent from the old ways, and start living through the power of the Holy Spirit for Jesus. Lord, I pray Christians that have grown complacent or grown critical or, Father, been on the sidelines would renew their vow of commitment today. Rekindle the flame. Get excited about serving you. We need more people like Tommy Lippert, who is a faithful servant, not only to his country, but in this church, who is willing to die for the cause of Christ. Father, I pray for others, Lord, that have been looking for a church home. This is a special place. This is a place of love and acceptance and forgiveness and support and encouragement. Oh, God, give people the holy boldness to come and take a stand for you because you were not afraid to take a stand for us on the cross. Give us the courage to come and to say, have your own way, God, in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you, if you're in this place, to stand. We're going to sing a hymn of commitment. It would be my privilege to pray with you about your decision as we sing together this great hymn of faith, Have Thine Own Way. I'm so excited to introduce to you these that have come. First, I'm going to invite Emily and her father, Floyd Hunsaker, to come up here beside me. I'm so grateful. I know many of y'all probably thought these guys were already members. Floyd's wife, Emily's mom, Lori, already is a member, but today they come to unite with this church family. We welcome you. I know God has led you here. They're coming already knowing the Lord, but joining this church family, coming from other churches. We just pray that you would feel his love, and we commit and pledge our love and prayers for you as you and as we serve him. And I know you want to pledge your love and prayers by letting it be known by saying amen and applause. We welcome you. We welcome you. We'll draw a line after the service to join me out in the foyer so people can just welcome you, but I'll let you be seated right now. And if there are others of you that would like to speak with me, one of our staff, about a decision, it'd be my privilege, our privilege, to speak with you, pray with you about a decision for the Lord. But thank you, church, for allowing the Holy Spirit to be here. A couple of things before you go. First, I want to say a special thank you. Many of you know recently we voted to hire a new associate pastor of music and worship, Sean Sherwood. His first Sunday will not be next Sunday, but the following Sunday. But I'm so grateful in these last several weeks that Julie Oswald has been willing to come and be an interim and to work with our choir. And Julie, we so appreciate you using your talents and gifts to serve the Lord, and you did it so humbly and graciously. I know you want to join with me in thanking Julie for doing a great job. Thank you so much. Second thing, next week, you all, as Mark already mentioned in the prayer, is our 200th, you heard right, 235th anniversary. I invite you to come back next Sunday to celebrate with us. We'll be having a meal after the service downstairs, catered by Family Affair. It's going to be a great day. Then we're going to have a special service out by the cross. But come celebrate 235 years. And I'm humbled and honored to be the guest speaker next week for homecoming. So I hope you'll be here to be a part. And just pray for me that God will show me direction. I've got so many thoughts swirling around in my heart and mind. But again, I so appreciate you all. And I don't want to miss this opportunity to tell you that my family and I love you all and appreciate your love and support and your partnership in the gospel. We just know that God, who began a good work in all of us, will carry it on to completion one day. But make sure you tell somebody over the weekend that you love them and that you appreciate them. I'm grateful for my brother in the Lord, Jim, who came and shared that with me just a few moments ago. And I'm going to invite everyone to stand right now. Have a wonderful rest of your day, or like I like to say to my youngest daughter, a wondrous rest of the day. Have a blessed and safe Memorial Day. We're going to sing this stanza as we go from this place. God bless you. Let's sing. God, may that be our prayer as we go from this place. Precious Lord, continue to lead us until we come home to be with you and other loved ones that have gone on before us. And And what a day that will be. Bless us, God, now as we go in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey.